Peya Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin. A kosev nechasev shchiv meirav. Lo aleinu, somebody's deathly ill, and they write over the nechasim on their deathbed. They write over all their property and their possessions. They write over shir karka kol shehu matnosa matana. If the guy that's writing over leaves over, the deathly ill person leaves over something for himself, the matanas that he gave, everything else that he gave, is a real matana, and he can no longer go back and say that the only reason he wrote it out was because he was deathly ill, but now that when he gets better, he wants everything back, he no longer say that, because why'd he leave over anything for himself? Rather, because he left over something for himself, what he gave over wholeheartedly, independent of whether he was deathly ill or not, and therefore it's a matana. When we say karka, that he left over karka, the Rav says it's lav dafka karka. It's really anything. He can leave over anything, and the only reason we use karka in the Mishnah here is because we just mentioned in the previous Mishnah karka. But any karka, the Rav says in the rest of the Mishnah, going forward till the end of the parak, really just means metaltalin as well. The Mishnah continues, lo shir karka koshu. However, if he did not leave over anything, ein matnasa matana. So then the matan is not a matan, because the only reason he gave anything is because he was dying. And now that he got better, therefore it's not a matan. Hakoisev nechasov levanov. So the Rav learns we're also talking about a shchiv meira here. Hakoisev nechasov levanov, a kosov leishtu karka kolshu. And then he writes to his wife any amount of karka, a small amount. So basically he wrote to his, let's say his sons, that they should get all of his land. And then he said between them, you know, that his wife also should get a piece of it. So normally she has a ksuva and she should be able to collect from this land. And by the fact that he's stipulating a specific amount and she agrees to it, ibda ksuvasa, so she loses out on her ksuva. Why is that? Because she didn't disagree and say that, hey, I'm supposed to get my ksuva from this. And why are you being mechalikit to the sons? Since she's quiet and she accepts her smaller piece, so she loses out on the ksuba. Now, she doesn't lose out on her whole ksuba, it just means from this land, as the Tiferes Yisrael explains. Rabbi Yossi Emre, im kibla aleha, Rabbi afal pi shaloi kosev la ibda ksuvas. Rabbi Yossi says, it doesn't even have to be where the husband writes it in his shtar, that everything is going to them, plus also to her. It doesn't even have to be where he mentions that there's going to be a part of it that's hers, and that part of it obviously is not her whole ksuva, but rather, even if he doesn't say anything, and even if the brothers don't buy the ksuva off of her, like the Rav explains, rather, she just accepts upon herself with the sons, after he writes all of the karka and all the nechasim should go to the sons, and she just accepts it upon herself that way, and she takes, I guess, a little portion with them, even though there's no kinyan here, and he doesn't write anything, still, Rabbi Yossi says, she also loses her ksuva. They don't have to have it where the husband wrote it on a shtar. And interesting, the Tiferes Yisrael says the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, the Rav says the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi.